An entrepreneur is, in some ways, I believe, a way of looking at the world, a way of entering into business, but not the specific business. So you see a lot of entrepreneurs that have five failures and then a big success. They didn't let their identity be connected to the businesses that failed. They had their identity of, I'm the type of person that sees opportunities that others don't. I take risk. I start businesses. And I believe one day one of those are going to be successful.
We are honored today to have Blake Mikowski joining us. So Blake is famously the founder of Tom's Shoes, and soon is also going to be the founder of Enough, really cool new nonprofit that he's got coming here. So Blake, really appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is exciting. You're getting to see, talk about entrepreneurship. You get to see right in the middle of the sausage making as we prepare for our big launch on January 6th. You're catching me at exactly the right time.
So let's talk about Enough. What is the very premise of Enough, and why did you decide to launch it?
I think it ties probably back to Tom's Shoes. So for the people who might not be as familiar with Tom's Shoes, I started Tom's Shoes in 2006. At that time, I was 29 years old. I'd started four or five other businesses, just small businesses. And then I was down in Argentina and I saw a lot of kids that didn't have shoes. And I wanted to do something to help them get shoes because I heard that they needed shoes to go to school. And I came up with what I thought was just a really simple idea. It was actually not even a business. It was a project. And the idea was, if we sell a pair of these shoes that they make in Argentina in the US, then we would come back and give away a pair to a child in need. And we called it the Tomorrow Shoe Project. And that's where the name Tom's comes from, the word tomorrow. And so we started selling them out of my apartment in Venice, California. And we got a couple of big media articles, Vogue magazine, LA Times, about what we were doing and how it was so unique that we were giving something away every time we sold it. And it really took off. And so it became a business and became actually the fastest growing shoe company in the world for 3 years. We ended up giving 100 million children shoes. The valuation of the company was about $650 million when I sold it. Just an incredible experience as an entrepreneur to build something that was successful financially, that made over 40 of my first employees multimillionaires, and to give away 100 million shoes to children was like the dream. And so I say all that just to give you a backstory, because I think it sets up what happened next. And that was, I sold the company. I had two kids. I was traveling all the time. I wasn't really around enough. And I really wanted to focus on them and not work so much, because I'd been working so hard since I was 18. And no one prepared me for what life would be like after selling Tom's. Three things happened. The first thing is, I lost my sense of purpose. Every day I woke up and I was excited to work because I had this purpose of helping these kids get shoes that desperately needed them. The second thing is I lost my community. I had 350 employees scattered all over the world that had become like best friends and building this company from the ground up. And they were really my family. And when I sold the company, I had a dream of moving to the mountains because I love snowboarding. And so I moved to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And so I wasn't in the same city of all my friends. I didn't have my purpose. And then also in Wyoming in the wintertime, or for half of the year, it gets dark at 5 p.m. And that's not good for one's mental health if you're used to living in California in the sunshine. And so what happened was I started to get depressed. And I had never experienced depression. And I really didn't know what to do. It really initially was really frightening because I didn't like the way I felt. I didn't like the way I was engaging with my family. I had low energy, all these things that I'd never experienced. And I panicked. And I think I did what a lot of people do maybe when they sell their company and all of a sudden they have a bunch of money, is I tried to throw money at the problem. And so I built the dream house and I got the classic cars and I took the vacations and I did all these things externally to try to feel, now I know, to try to feel that I was enough, but I didn't have the words for it back then. And the more I did these external things, the worse I felt. And my depression got worse and worse and worse. And it got really scary. I got to a really, really, really dark place, a place where I didn't even know if I wanted to continue living. And that was about 3 years ago. And from that place, thankfully, I hit rock bottom and I realized I needed to reevaluate pretty much everything in my life. And I went to a facility, I got an amazing therapist. And there, I really worked with what is called a core wound. And I realized that my core wound my whole life was that I never felt that I was enough. no matter how many tennis matches I won as a college player, no matter how many much money I made in business, no matter how many people I helped with Tom Shoes, I never felt that I was enough. And that was affecting every aspect of my life. And when I tried to feel enough by doing all these external things with the money, it made it worse because nothing worked. And when nothing's working, that's when you really panic. And that's why I got such a dark place. And so once I recognized that that was a wound that existed for me, then I went on a year-long journey to heal that. And I did a lot of different therapies, went to a lot of different places, went to India for several weeks, like really took this seriously. And the goal was to really reprogram my subconscious and my neural pathways around this limiting. And I did it. And I started to feel better. I started to feel peace than I'd ever felt in my life. And when I was in India and really feeling better for the first time, maybe in 10 years, I realized I had this beautiful meditation and this download of, wow, like I'm not the only person that feels this way. A lot of people don't feel enough every day. And especially young people, because of social media, they're constantly comparing themselves to everyone else. And I think I want to go back and I want to figure out a way to help people and help people know that they are enough and that this moment is enough. And by feeling enough doesn't mean that you're complacent or mediocrity or whatever. It's actually is a feeling of peace that allows you to perform well. And so I came back to the States and I thought about everything I did with Tom's and how we really made a huge difference in the world with that. And I came up with this idea for this bracelet. And so I'm wearing one here and you can see, I don't know if you can see that on the screen, but it's this hand beaded bracelet made in India. And I wear it every day as a reminder that I'm enough. But more importantly, I give them away to people to share that message with others. And we are in the process of building this organization. It's actually a really interesting model too, since you're in a business class. It's, you know, We Are Enough is a nonprofit that actually owns a for-profit business. And that business is the thing that makes the bracelets and sells the bracelets and operates like a regular business. But 100% of our profits go to the nonprofit that then goes to the organizations. And so it's really, I think, hopefully it will be a case study someday in how to start a social enterprise that is 100% for the public good and not necessarily to make shareholders rich. And so I'm excited about the structure that we've created. It's also one that was pioneered by Newman's Own salad dressing, if you've ever aware of that business. But yeah, we launched in January, and my goal is to become a massive fundraiser for mental health nonprofits all over the world with this.
So let's rewind and think about that journey you went through with Tom's. Now that you've had that figuring out that wound,
yeah.
When you think about those highs and lows of entrepreneurship, what would you have done differently during your journey of building Tom's if you knew now about yourself what you didn't know then?
It's a great question. I think I would have enjoyed it a lot more. I think that a lot of what I was doing, and I think what a lot of entrepreneurs that maybe struggle with this is, we're just trying to stay above water. Because I didn't have a healthy sense of self-worth and enoughness, I was just constantly trying to have the next accomplishment, the next magazine cover, the next award for helping in Cambodia or Guatemala or Ethiopia or all the places we were. And that was like, in a sense, that was what was fueling me, in really the same way that sugar might give you energy for a little bit, but it's not how you want to build your diet. That's the way I think about it. And so now, knowing that I'm enough, whether this project works or not, or whether you guys like it or not, like it's just, I have a sense of peace, and I actually have a sense of security that is actually, I think, going to help me perform even better as an entrepreneur this go round, because I'm not influenced by day-to-day reactions, successes or failures of a marketing campaign or an employee. Or it's, to me, there's a security now that does not come from the success of the business that is within me, that then allows me to think, I think, much more strategically and long-term and not just chasing the highs, as you mentioned.
Yeah. So thinking about that a little further, the identity of a founder often gets tied to the entrepreneurial venture that they're behind.
Sure.
No matter what, you're always going to be known as the founder of Tom's Shoes.
Yeah. And some people call
it entrepreneurship. Yeah. Sometimes it works out great and you have an amazing exit. And a lot of times it doesn't. Majority of entrepreneurship and startups don't work. How do you think about what entrepreneurs should do when you think about that identity of the company that you're behind and a separation for those two things?
Yeah, I think that's really hard because you're right. Most businesses don't work. And so if your whole identity is caught up in your business and your business doesn't work, then that is saying to you, maybe you don't work or maybe you're not valuable. And so I think it's just super important that, and this is why I'm so focused on talking and speaking to high school students and college students, is that you really do the personal development work so that your identity is not so connected to your output from business. Because the thing is, it's great to use, it's an advantage to use your personal story and your identity to build a business. And I definitely did that with Tom's, but I'm not Tom's. Tom's is an entity in itself. And whether Tom's is successful or not doesn't mean I'm successful or not. And so I think it's just really important to have really great community, really great friends, investing time and hobbies and other things besides just work. And I think it's fine to have an identity as an entrepreneur, because an entrepreneur is, in some ways, I believe, a way of looking at the world, a way of entering into business, but not the specific business. So you see a lot of entrepreneurs that have five failures and then a big success. They didn't let their identity be connected to the businesses that failed. They had their identity of, I'm the type of person that sees opportunities that others don't. I take risk. I start businesses. And I believe one day one of those are going to be successful. And I think that's the attitude and the mindset you want to have versus, oh my gosh, this one idea is my whole identity. And then I'll say one more thing to that, because this is also something that I've spoken about for years. And that is, entrepreneurs should be very careful not to fall in love with their idea. Like, you, it's hard, but what I see entrepreneurs is they become so in love with their idea because they think that's like the only entrepreneurial idea they'll ever have. And then when the signs start showing that this idea is not going to work, they still give it an extra 2 or 3 years of their life, or remortgage their house, or ask money from friends. And they're just so connected to that idea as their identity that they don't make good decisions about when it's time to say, this isn't working, I'm moving on. And so I always say is, love what you do, have passion, but your idea isn't your soulmate in business. Like, it's one idea. And I promise you, if this one doesn't work, if you're the type of person that's an entrepreneur, you're going to have another one. So you got to know, you got to be, have that kind of very, that relationship with that idea has to be one that is, it's just really thoughtful and not of, it's my only idea.
Related to that, as you mentioned, your original purpose was putting shoes on kids and that great mission. Along the way, you pioneered that business model of the buy one, get one, or buy one, get one, more importantly. And I think all of us have seen many pitch decks that was the Tom shoes for this.
Yes, yes.
How did you think about with that original purpose, then a business model that evolved? And was there a time that you realized that business model needed to change and you could maybe still live the purpose in a different way?
Before I answer that, I think I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things that I'm really probably most excited about enough is, I'll show you this real quick if you don't have one there. So this is the box that the bracelets come in. And what's really unique about this is when you buy a bracelet for yourself, you actually are committing to give one to someone else. So at Tom's, it was one for one, meaning you buy one, we give one. Now the one for one is you buy one and you commit to give one. And so what's cool about that is every person who wears a bracelet is also a giver themselves. So they get the joy and the experience of sharing that message, whether that's with a friend or a stranger or a parent or a daughter or son, depending on where they are in life. And so I think what's cool about this whole evolution is I still think that there's value in the original one-for-one model that I created that, as you said, so many people have emulated. But I also think it's important to evolve as an entrepreneur. And that's what we've done here, is thinking about how do we still honor that I'm known for one, but in a new way that allows people to be more participatory in their, what they're doing. And so that I'm really excited about. And then to get back to your question about, could you still have your purpose without the model? At Tom's, the whole brand was based on one for one. And I think that had we ever abandoned that, then it would be really hard to stay on purpose, because I think that was the promise that we came to people with. Same way that the promise of enough is 100% of our profits will fund mental health organizations that are transforming and saving lives every day. If we legally, we can't abandon that promise, because I've made it in the bylaws of the incorporation documents. But that's a promise that we have to keep, the same way that I think Tom's had to always keep the one for one.
See, over the years, you went from solo founders starting this mission to, as you mentioned, up to 350 employees when it was done. How do you think about that mental health journey from when you're a founder, then when you have to be strong for all of those employees that report to you? How do you think about how that changes and what advice you give today?
It is a lot of pressure, especially if you really care about people and you see your, I used to call the Tom staff our family members, not even employees or staff or coworkers. So it was a very personal relationship, and that does take a toll on you, because not everyone that works at the company is going to work out. So you're going to have to let people go, and people are going to be unhappy about getting paid more than I, and I don't understand why. And there's just a lot of stuff that comes up that you're going to have to deal with. And it does take its toll. I think the most important thing I would give it advice as a company really ramps up is to really continue to invest in your core, they would call it an executive team, but your core people that surround the founder, because ultimately they become the representative of the founder to whatever department they're in. If it's your head of sales, your head of legal, your head of finance, your head of these people, basically are your day-to-day spokespeople to the rest of the organization. And so the most important thing to do, I think, to keep your culture consistent with how it started and to also not be overwhelmed by the size of the staff, is to have the team that surrounds you just be absolutely rock solid and totally really living the mission that you started with.
So you mentioned Enough is going to be supporting different organizations and nonprofits that focus on mental health. What are some of those organizations that are on your initial founding partner list?
Yeah, so one of them I really love is Active Minds. And what they do is they train high school and college students to be aware and to be able to recognize when a student might be struggling mentally, and then to offer group counseling at the high school or at the college. And they've trained over 10,000 students to do this. So by no means are they taking the role of a therapist, but they are able to talk to a student in a way that won't embarrass them or won't cause them to have further distress, and then to potentially get them the help that they need. I wish I had that when I was in high school or college. I think that's so important. And then there's another organization actually called Project Healthy Minds, which is totally different, which is really creating the biggest resource online for all mental health needs. And there's actually surprisingly so many free services online that can help someone who might be struggling at all different levels. So it could be everything from suicide prevention to just, I'm feeling detached and stuck and slightly depressed. What do I do before it gets worse? And so they're really working hard to make those resources available to everyone. One of the things that I think that I'm most interested in with our partners is that they're really doing kind of work on the ground with people who might be struggling to get them the help that they need quicker. Because I think that how these mental illnesses, and definitely mine, escalate is when you're isolated and you don't have someone to talk to. And so really, we're supporting organizations that are really helping in that one.
So with that, we're going to bring it to a close. I really appreciate you taking the time to share the journey. And I think I speak for all of us, and we can't wait to see Enough come to life in January.
Okay. Thank you so much.